Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
Patrick Burns now joins us from Ghost Towns. How are you, Patrick?
I'm doing great, Burt.
Good, man. You were saying this is a busy, busy, busy time of year for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm like Santa Claus on his final run on Christmas Eve right now, let me tell you.
At this time of year, are the spirits like more active around Halloween, or is that just...
I don't think there's any increase in activity around this time of year. I think it's more at the forefront of people's minds and imaginations at this time of year. But we capture this activity, you know, equally dispersed throughout the rest of the calendar.
Tell everybody what Ghost Towns is before we get into this more.
Ghost Towns is the largest paranormal investigators network in the Southeast, and we have currently over 3,000 subscribers on our site. I founded the group in 2001, and we are a loosely knit network of people that go out and investigate hauntings and reports of hauntings.
So is there a whole industry that caters to this specific cause where they're creating electronics and...
You know, it's not really an industry, Bert. It's 99.9% of the people that do this, it's a hobby. You know, we do it for our own curiosity, our own interest. There really is, it's very difficult to make any money at this unless you happen to be on a TV show or you happen to write a book or something like that. Most of the equipment that we use is off-the-shelf electronics, and we sort of modify it in some way to use it for what we need to use it for.
Where do you find the most paranormal activity in Atlanta?
In Atlanta, within the perimeter, believe it or not, there's not as much activity within the city itself. As you start to get into the burbs, Stone Mountain, Marietta, Roswell, Lawrenceville, Gwinnett County, the surrounding areas seem to have more activity than the city itself does. And there are a couple of theories about why that might be. Probably the most popular is the fact that the city was burnt down and then reconstructed and reconstructed again. So nobody really knows where things are from a historical perspective. You know, we don't really know where to go and concentrate. Okay, well, here's where something significant happened back in history. We can go and concentrate our efforts there. Everything is sort of scattered around.
Is it true that you find more paranormal activity around graveyards, or is that just a cliche?
You know, we find... Now, there are some investigators out there that will disagree with me, and there are some that think that cemeteries and graveyards are not haunted. I believe that they are active. We have recorded a substantial amount of activity in cemeteries, and I think there is activity in cemeteries. Usually the older ones are the more active.
Melissa loves this.
I do.
I know. Patrick, why did you get interested in this field, this hobby that's now become a career for you with your television show? But what was the first thing that happened to you where you said, I have to get into this?
Well, you know, I tell everyone it probably started when I was a wee little child and watching Casper the Friendly Ghost. And of course, I was reassured by my parents when I was a child growing up. There's no such things as ghosts. And about the time I was 7 or 8 years old, the woman who had purchased my grandparents' house after they had both passed on. We lived in the house right next door, and we moved away. And my grandparents' house was purchased by a husband and wife who lived down the street from us. And she called my mom sometime after she had after they had purchased my grandparents' house, and they said, "I don't know quite how to tell you this, but I was fixing breakfast in the kitchen this morning. I turned around, and your mother was standing there looking at me, and she just faded away." And my mom was like, you know, big skeptic, right? Okay, whatever. Until she described what my grandmother was wearing. She said it looked like she was wearing a purple house coat or a purple or a lavender robe. And my mom's jaw, she had to pick it up off the floor at that point because that was my grandmother's favorite thing to wear around the house on the holidays. And I think that that made my mom a believer. And of course, you know, how cool is that for me? My own grandmother's been seen as a ghost. You know, complete topsy-turvy, you know, 180-degree turn. Ghosts don't exist. Well, yes, they do. And your grandmother has been seen as one.
Unreal.
So it just sort of became a lifelong hobby and lifelong curiosity of mine.
I've told these guys, I believe. I mean, I lived up in Old Town Alexandria,
right,
which is kind of a hotbed for activity for this kind of thing. And we lived in a townhouse and had no idea where the land was really, I mean, what happened or the history of the land.
Sure.
And I would be up in my office in the attic, and from time to time I would see the kind of just silhouette of a boy that was between 8 and 11 years old, kind of a bowl cut in a black suit with like a white or a black really skinny tie.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would see it, I would turn to look at it.
Sure.
And it was gone.
Yep.
You see, and it happened half a dozen times.
Out of your peripheral vision.
Right.
That is where most apparitions that you're going to see are going to occur out of your peripheral vision. I tell people when they're getting into this, when they're starting to become an investigator, I say, pay attention to what's going on in the corner of your eye, you know, and don't turn to look at it right away. Let it sort of sit there for a little while and just sort of keep an eye on it out of the corner of your eye and see what it does. And sometimes you'll see this stuff manifest into what we refer to a full-bodied apparition in FBA.
It jacks with you. Like, you start talking yourself out of it. Like, you know what you're seeing out of the corner of your eye. But then when you look at it and it's gone, you just talk yourself out of it. Yeah. Then after it happens like five or six times in the same place, like, I found myself trying to talk to it.
Right.
Dude, I know you're there, dude. What's up?
Yeah, right.
Not. I've been gone.
Don't be mean to me. Yeah.
Don't be mean.
Exactly.
Haunt me. I'm good. I'm good to you. You're good to me. Now, you don't charge for this?
No, no, no. When we go out to do an investigation, you know, it's always done free of charge. If we have to travel, you know, a real long distance, we might ask you, you know, hey, can you, you know, provide us with gas money? Can you give us a floor to crash on for the night so we don't have to drive back at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning? But I believe that when you start charging money to go into somebody's house and, you know, perform a paranormal investigation, first off, your results are always going to be inconclusive. You can never go in and say, hey, this place is haunted, because you can't prove the existence of ghosts from a scientific standpoint. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So when you start charging money for something that you can't prove, what really are you charging for? You know, just your presence there. Just, you know, you can't sign off on it and say it's haunted. So I think anytime, you know, money becomes involved in it from that angle, there's a possibility of fraud. You know, maybe somebody's gonna give somebody more, you know, more activity, more results than, you know, so that they feel like they're getting their money's worth.
I see. So you could charge every time you come out to the house, and you could really milk it if you're a bad ghost hunter.
And there are a few people out there.
Bad ghost hound.
Exactly. There are a few people out there, and I won't mention any names, but there are a couple of people out there that have sort of alienated themselves in the paranormal community for doing that sort of thing. And we'll never do it.
Well, you don't charge at all. You can go to the website. There is a link up to it from ours right now at allthehitsq100.com to ghosthounds.com. So we asked Patrick to come to all of our homes. Nobody wants a ghost in their house more than Jen Hobby.
I really, really, really would think that was so cool, because I was telling Patrick, I've had a couple experiences in my past. One place that I worked when I was growing up in high school, I worked at a bed and breakfast in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. And it's just this old house, probably built in the early 1900s, and they converted it into this tea rooms called the Bay Gables Tea Room and Bed and Breakfast. And both the tea room and the bed and breakfast had strange things happening all the time. And everyone who worked there experienced something or another, whether it was just a weird feeling, feeling like things were actually moving out of place, things would be missing. You know, the cooks reported all kinds of things happening in the kitchen constantly. So that was kind of an interesting thing. And then there's always lore in my sorority house at Florida State. And, you know, Florida State was unfortunately the site of where Ted Bundy committed all of those murders.
Right.
And so there was a lot of lore around the sorority houses all throughout Florida State, even though one of them didn't happen in my house. I still, you know, went through Rush and went through all of the houses. And there was one in particular where the murders happened at Florida State. So there's just a couple of different things. And I'm just fascinated by the possibility of it. I'm fascinated by the unknown. And so I just think that would be so cool to have. I just think it would be so cool to have something in my house. But I really don't think that there it's my house. That's why I'm like, come on, be me.
But you're in the minority. Most people definitely, you know, if they have activity, they want to know how to get rid of it or at the very least learn how to live with it. It's not something that people say, yeah, I want my house to be haunted.
Well, can you get rid of them? Like,
you know, that is the classic definition of a ghost buster. And there's a difference between a ghost hunter and a ghost buster. The ghost hunter is one who just goes in and tries to document this activity. The ghost buster, quote unquote, or cleanser, is somebody who goes in and actually tries to drive this activity out. And I do not do the later. We simply go in and we try to document this and present people with evidence and say, you know, look, you're not losing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
We got this activity as well. And, you know, maybe there's something going on here. You know, try to live with it if you can.
But there are legitimate in your mind, companies that will kind of, for lack of a better word, scare the ghosts off.
Well, they don't normally scare them off. They usually sort of reason with them. You know, basically, we make a distinction between a ghost and a spirit. There is actually a difference. A spirit is somebody who has died and crossed over to the other side and is able to come back. Okay. If you're talking about the definition of a ghost, this is someone who has died and is trapped between our existence of the living and the next life. Okay. And they are stuck here. They are either stuck here because they are confused. Maybe they died in a very sudden, traumatic way, and they're sort of wandering around in a daze in the afterlife, and they're confused
like
about
the
their
others.
Condition. Exactly.
Like the
exactly.
Other
end of the island. Perfect example. Or they feel like they have unfinished business, like Patrick Swayze in the movie Ghost. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to solve his murder or his death to cross over before he felt ready to cross over. And then maybe there are some people that weren't exactly honest people in their lives, did a few questionable things, and they are afraid of crossing over and being judged. So
they
hold themselves here out of fear of what's waiting for them on the other side.
So in the bigger picture then, if you're telling us that what you're telling us is true, then you are confirming to us that there is a heaven and a hell.
I think there's at least some type of afterlife. There's definitely something waiting for us, and what is on the other side of that is, of course, the big mystery to mankind.
And once you go over, you can't come back?
No. That the spirit can come back and visit. Okay, but a ghost, if you're talking about a haunting, yeah, usually they're someone who is stuck in a specific location, either by their own free will or because they're confused.
And you've communicated with these. I mean, they have told you their story, why they're still around.
Well, we don't normally get a direct communication with that. If you wanted to establish a two-way communication, you need to employ the use of a medium, a trance medium, someone who will actually go under into a hypnotic trance. And they basically allow their body to become temporarily possessed for a short time, and you can establish a two-way communication.
Like Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah,
like
Ghost,
Whoopi
right.
Goldberg.
That's exactly
right.
What I was thinking. Yeah.
Very, very rare. It's very difficult to find a medium that will actually allow themselves to go under. I mean, and who can blame them? That's kind of a scary thought, to allow yourself to become temporarily possessed by another being for a short period of time. So I'm still looking.
Patrick Burns on with us from Ghost Hounds. He will go to your house. He will look for this kind of activity, and he will tell you if you have somebody or something living in the house there with you. He has gone to our homes. Mm-hmm. He has found that one of our homes has some activity going on, and he'll tell us which one of our homes next year.
And Katie Jo just called me and was freaking out because said, please, no.
Hey, Michelle, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. My question is for Patrick. I've heard him say that he can see out of the peripheral vision the ghost or admiration. Are you also able to feel their presence?
Yes, actually. Usually the way we detect a spirit or a ghost in a location is not through direct observation. Usually we infer their presence by the way they affect the environment. Everybody's heard of the cold spot when a ghost is present, when the temperature drops. The theory there is that a ghost is energy. They need energy to continue to exist. And they basically pull the heat out of their environment, the kinetic energy, and they're able to feed off of that. And in doing so, the temperature will drop in a highly localized area that's only a few feet in diameter. There are other things that can happen. The Earth's magnetic fields, which, of course, a compass will align to for magnetic north. If you have a compass in the presence of what we believe to be a ghost, sometimes that compass will sit there and spin. Mm-hmm. It will refuse to align to magnetic north. So we infer their presence with our equipment. It's very rare that you actually observe them directly.
These ghosts that you talk about, you say they're just kind of like stuck in this limbo phase.
Mm-hmm.
That when you say stuck, to me, that means that they don't want to be here. Are any ghosts are just like, you know what, I'm pretty cool here. I think I'm going to hang out here forever.
You know, I've often wondered that. And my mentor in this field is a gentleman by the name of Hans Holzer. And he's the one that actually coined the term ghost hunter back in the 1960s. And he says, no, that it's unnatural. It's an unnatural condition for someone to become a ghost. It's a rare condition. And he said, once you reveal to them, you know, you're dead and there's something waiting for you beyond this, he said, no one really wants to stay around.
Really? Because, like, if it happened to me early and I didn't get to watch, like, Hayden grow up or something, I'd want to stick around and see, like, what he turned into and be there on his wedding day and all that.
I don't necessarily agree with everything that that Dr. Holzer says, and I think there might be exceptions, you know. There are no such things as paranormal experts. I mean, people refer to me, Patrick Burns, our paranormal expert. I'm flattered, but there's no such thing. You can't be an expert in a field that is almost entirely theoretical in nature. Again, like I said, there's so little hard scientific evidence of what we're studying because science demands repeatability, repeatable results under controlled observations. And this is called paranormal activity for a reason, because it falls outside the norm because it doesn't repeat on command. So it's difficult to observe and substantiate, but doesn't necessarily mean it's not real.
Yeah. Now, I have a question that may be outside of the realm of what you do, but of course it's Halloween, so you start thinking about all these different things about people becoming possessed and exorcisms and that sort of thing.
Right.
Are you familiar with any of that? How does somebody become possessed and in need of an exorcism?
You know, we really, the Ghost Hounds organization doesn't really deal in cases like that. If we get a case where someone, they believe that they may have a case of possession, I usually refer that on to somebody who specializes in that field. That's admittedly a little bit over my head and a little bit further into it than I want to get.
But you feel like that definitely can and does happen?
I'm open to all possibilities. Mm-hmm. I really am. And certainly, you know, that the Catholic Church, they don't administer exorcisms very often, but they do. There are documented cases where the Catholic Church is very objective, very, very skeptical. You know, they go in, they have to see actual proof before they will condone mm-hmm. an exorcism. And they don't do it very often, but when they do go in, you know, when they actually send somebody in and say, yeah, something's going on here, it's pretty interesting. There might be something to it.
Got a whole bunch of people that have questions for you, so we'll run through some commercials, and when we come back, we'll spend a couple more minutes with you, take a couple of calls, and then we'll find out which Burt Show member's home has some paranormal activity going on. And we've got audio from the home. Patrick found something. We'll play it for you next year on Q100.
The Burt Show.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Switching between different tools to finish a project can feel stressful and disjointed, especially while juggling tight deadlines in a fast-paced work environment. Now, there's a better way. Grammarly built a writing surface that's a game-changer for professionals. It helps move your ideas forward and sharpen your words for better results, all in one place. With Grammarly's AI agents, you get writing support at every step to bring polish and impact to your emails, reports, and proposals without the tab overload. Email sounds robotic, phrasing feels off, writing for a high-stakes client. Grammarly's got you covered. You can even ask Grammarly's AI chat to help brainstorm brilliant proposals, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or even shape a winning sales strategy, all right from your doc. 93% of professionals say that Grammarly helps them get more done. And now, it's your turn. Sign up for free and get stronger results. Faster work, smarter sentences, clearer finishes. Visit Grammarly.com to get started. That's Grammarly.com.